Good morning. I'm really glad to see you, as it is not a warm morning. Thank you for making it through all of the brisk and the cold to warm the hearts of each other as we join together in worship. We now are in our another green season, this time after the Epiphany, this time after the baptism of our Lord, as we're preparing ourselves to see what Jesus does at the beginning of his ministry. I'm very glad that you're with us. I hope you're enjoying yourself as you join us online as well. Someone may need you to be here today, so I'm very glad that you're here. Just a couple of brief announcements. First of all, next Sunday, January 21st, is the third Sunday of the month, so youth group meets at 6 p.m. Also, Wednesday, February 14th. It's a month from today. Most of you know that as Valentine's Day, but Ash Wednesday. We begin Lent 1 month from today. On Ash Wednesday, we will have services here at 7 p.m., but join us as we begin our Lenten journey in just 1 month. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them. But we've gathered this morning so that we can be in worship, so we can add our voices to all of God's children. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is God with us. Let us rise and sing together.
Who are we that you would be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking our way? We are free in ways that we never should be. Sweet release from the grip of these chains. Like inches straining from the wind, my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries, for you alone be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a prayer.
Glorified Emmanuel, God with us.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly day by day, praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
First lesson is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? So I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, 'The two shall be one flesh.' But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body. The fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated. I would love to invite any children to come on forward. And here they come. Good morning, ladies. Good morning. How is everyone? Ooh, I like those mittens. Those are great. Lovely, 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 lovely. There we go. All right, so have you ever talked to somebody on the telephone? Has anyone ever called you on the telephone? No, that's okay. You're a little young for people to be calling you on the telephone. All right. So has anyone ever said, "Hey, come over here"? People call you like that? I'm sure that your mom calls down from someplace and says, "Avery, get over here." Happens? All right? It does. It does. Jesus today in the gospel is beginning to call his disciples. All right? Now, does Jesus call his disciples on the phone? Nope. Phones weren't invented yet. All right? Does Jesus just sort of stand someplace and say, "Hey, you, come here"? Jesus comes up and he looks you in the eye and he says, "Follow me." That's kind of cool. Because what Jesus does is he looks and he sees you as real people. He sees you, all of you, as sisters. He sees me as the brother. And Jesus says then, "Follow me." Jesus says, "I have something to show you." Jesus says, "We have something we can do together." And so Jesus calls us to be disciples. Jesus calls us to love our neighbors. But he doesn't stand far away and say, "Hey, you, go do that." Jesus says, "Follow me." And he's with us every single step of the way. That's how we get to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for calling us. We thank you for seeing us. We thank you for walking beside us. Go with us so we might truly love our neighbors, share your glory, and follow you. We thank you for today, Lord. Amen. You guys almost didn't make it in time. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, I stood here and I told all of you that God sees you as beloved children and that with you, God is well pleased. Now, as I wrote that, and as I said that, and as I've pondered that ever since, I also ask myself, oh, really? Beloved and pleased? And you see, I ask that question because I also stand here lots of different weeks and remind us that we are sinners, that the wages of our sinfulness is death, that we are self-condemned rebels who have destroyed our relationship with God. So which is it? Are we beloved and pleasing children, or are we despicable sinners condemned to death? And my answer is, of course, yes. Because it is true that we are sinners. It is true that we put many different things in the place where God belongs in our lives. We behave with indifference and cruelty. We act like we're the most important thing in our universe. We destroy the relationship that God wants to have with all of us, with each of us. And this is true, and it has been true ever since Adam and Eve. But it is equally true that God loves us regardless. God, whose dream for creation has been that we will show God how much we love God by loving and caring for each other, this God loves us in spite of our rebellion and sin. In the person and in the work of Jesus Christ our Lord, God has made his love evident for us. God has made that love for us also far-reaching. Through the years, God has tried to help us to see our rebellion and his grace in lots of different ways, ways that we never fully grasped, ways that we never fully understood. So in Jesus, God came to show us love and care, patience and forgiveness, gentleness, generosity of spirit, and encouragement to new life, to new ways of life. That's what we're beginning to celebrate this morning. Because in today's gospel, we are at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He is going about and he is calling people to follow him. He is calling them to be disciples and eventually to be apostles. Jesus, who is Emmanuel, Jesus, who is the presence of God in the world, finds Philip and says to him, "Follow me." Follow me. Now, Philip is from the same town as Peter and Andrew, and probably knew Peter and Andrew, and Jesus calls him anyway. See, this is the beginning for us to understand God's love for all people. Peter, Andrew, Philip, Nathaniel. I'm guessing that none of those four gentlemen we hear about today were pillars of their communities. They weren't leaders in the Chamber of Commerce. They weren't highly regarded by anyone. Some of them fished for a living. Others we don't know about. All we ever heard about Nathaniel is that he was sitting under a tree. They were leftovers. People, many people looked past them. Unless, of course, they had to buy some fish. But Jesus sees them. Jesus sees them and brings them into God's culture of invitation. Jesus shows them that they truly are God's beloved children. Now, the world may have left these gentlemen out, but with them, God is well pleased, and Jesus invites them to follow, to discover the depths of God's love for all of us. So even when Nathanael insults Jesus' hometown, you ever hear that? An outcast trying to cast someone even farther out? It happens. Jesus instead sees a brother, a friend, someone who God wants to work with. Now Jesus' words to Philip were, "Follow me." Philip hears those words and then speaks a couple of others to Nathanael. He says to Nathanael, "Come and see." Invitation leads to invitation. Calling leads to calling. This is what God is looking for from Philip, from Peter, Nathanael, all of us. This is the culture that God is creating. It's not a demand. You must do this or else. Rather, for Jesus, it is an invitation. Follow me. Let me show you how God's love can infect your life and your living. Let me show you how God's love can transform your world. This is the invitation. These are actually the greater things that we are all promised. This is to what the invitation is leading us. Love and care from God to us, which then turns into love and care from us to neighbors. In today's gospel, Jesus is trying to show Philip and Nathanael and all of us that with us, God is truly pleased. Jesus is reminding us that we are children of God because God has made us his children. We're still sinners. We deserve none of that. And yet God in his love for all creation makes of us children, beloved children, with whom God is well pleased, and we are listening to the invitation to love as we are loved. What we begin to see today is that Jesus is really showing us what God is like. Jesus shows us the consistency and the persistence of God. God won't give up on us. God doesn't give up on humanity. From Abraham through Moses, Joshua to David, past Elijah and Isaiah through the Maccabees to Jesus, God has not given up on humanity. From the earliest church to Augustine to Luther to Muhlenberg to Bonhoeffer to Pastor Swinehart, God has not given up on humanity or on us. God is always standing before us calling, "Follow me." God is also always standing beside us with forgiveness, salvation, new life. With God, with us, God is always well pleased. But God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to remain in our foolishness. Thus the invitation. We are called to follow our God as we follow Jesus, who is God the Son. We are called to live lives where we see the people around us, really see them, Like Jesus sees Philip and Nathaniel or Andrew or Peter or you or me, we are encouraged to recognize those around us as sisters and brothers. We are called to share the love and forgiveness that God lavishes on us right here. We are called to love one another, to care for each other as we are able. We are called to be still, listening for God, and then go into the world with hope so that we can make God's vision into our daily mission. The good news we can cling to is that God loves us all and with us. He truly is well pleased. God wants to work with us. And as we try to change the world one life at a time, God stands beside us. We get to join a long line of people that God loves and works with, Philip and Nathaniel, Andrew and Peter, all of you. We are God's hands and feet in the world today. May the Holy Spirit fill us, guide us, forgive us, and then send us into the world in love. Amen. We were made God's children in our baptisms. Let us celebrate those baptisms by confessing together our faith. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessings on the church, the world, and all of creation. Inspire wisdom and a spirit of proclamation in your church, God of forgiveness. Uplift leaders to share the truth of your word in community. Encourage us to live into the promises of baptism, working for justice and peace in all the world. Lord, in your mercy, renew your creation, God of thunder and mighty waters. Restore the rivers in which your children are baptized. May fields flourish and grow. Summon the stewards and caretakers of the land to cherish your good works. Lord, in your mercy, give strength to your leaders, God who is present in every country and community. Raise up leaders committed to equity and healing. Grant them discernment and compassion as they lead in love. Lord, in your mercy, protect and cherish the most vulnerable among us, God of strength. Accompany those separated from family or hurting from broken relationships. Shelter our unhoused neighbors and any experiencing poverty. Protect those incarcerated in prisons and detention centers. Care for the sick and suffering. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these known to us who need your wholeness. We pray for Judith, Stephanie, Paul, Judy, John, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy, encourage this congregation, God who calls and sends disciples. Guide us in accompanying, learning from, and serving our neighbors on the margins, following the example of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting the assurance of the Holy Spirit, we remember all who have died and rest in God's care. Give hope to those who grieve, even as we rest in your eternal promise of resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stay warm and dry and safe as you have a blessed week. But then please go into the world with hope.
Make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Shine, shine, shine.